It's Thursday.
Today is Thursday.
I've brought you the greatest gift of all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, in that case...
Entertain me!
It's showtime!
Make use of the help that God puts around you.
We are not a glum lot.
A promise is a promise.
It's very simple. Just don't drink and go to meetings.
Give time.
Easy does it. But do it.
Want to have self-esteem? Just do esteemable things.
One day at a time.
We carry the message, not the alcoholic.
Don't quit before the miracle happens.
Hey, with an effective character, three guys sitting around talking about our personal experience in recovery. Hey, I'm Mike.
I'm Dennis.
And James here.
The opinions are our own. We don't represent any particular organization, institution, or fellowship. Today, we'll be sharing our experience about how we identify with the holiday classic Family Circus Christmas. In this episode 220 of the Defective Characters Podcast, let's go.
Woohoo!
All right, how do we feel? We feel about this one, Dennis? Did a tear come to your eye watching it?
Not a tear, but there was a lot of like nostalgia because I remember watching it as a kid growing up on Christmas and stuff. It was one of the specials that kind of came on.
Were you able to identify, before we jump into the last 7 days, was this one easier than last week Home Alone? Because I know you had a tough time piecing the two together.
No, because I was being very critical on the animation and on the spoiler alert, like the whole concept of telling every kid in the world that something doesn't exist and then ushering them into a traumatic experience when they find out it's not, like, that's still like,
it's great.
Conflicts with me.
That's why it brings back to our childhood.
Yeah.
Because we all had that experience. I'll start with James the last week and we can go around clockwise if you want. How's everything, James?
Hi, Mike. Good. I was, I don't know if I shared last week, but my son wants to come a little earlier. Did I share that last week?
No.
Anyways, my 20-year-old, he called and he said, "Dad, I want to come like 5 days earlier than when you're going to pick me up." And of course, like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm so excited. Like, that's so cool. He wants to see me. And I was like, why? He's like, oh, I want to go to an anime convention. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, that's
still
cool.
So there's some anime convention. I don't know. I've asked a few people at work. A lot of people know what it is. And maybe I'll go with him. But then I was like, then I got to go and pick him up and then go pick up his brother like 5 days later. So I remembered the Bright Line.
I was going to say that.
And it turns out there's 5 minutes from his house, there's the Aventura Bright Line station. And if they go past 8 o'clock, it's only $39 for a ticket.
Wow.
So I bought him a ticket. His mom was not happy. She thinks...
You didn't check with her?
No, I did. But because I was going to like, well, I'll just... Dylan can just come up here too on the Bright Line. And she's like, what do you... Stop, no. She's like, you know how many people get abducted? I was just like, oh my God. I was like, are we going down that path? I was like, there's security... I was like, all right, just send the boy up here, and I'll go get the little one on Sunday as planned. But I think it's mainly because he's a miner.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's a coal miner. And I'm so glad he got off for the Christmas week. And I'll be next door neighbors with little Dennis over here for the week.
No way.
We're staying at the Celebration Hotel for the week.
The Bahamian.
yes, with a tiny pool. And it's going to be just wonderful. I'm excited for lots of stuff. I've been picking up lots of shifts. I'm planning on taking off. Two bartenders got fired at Outback. I'm glad I was not one of them.
For drinking?
No. For stealing.
Ooh.
And I'm glad I walk with integrity today. Because, and they weren't stealing from the company. Well, they might have been stealing from the company. But they were stealing from their service support and the hosts.
That's
the worst, yeah. And then they were doing it 3 days in a row and... Like, the red flags went up. The way they did this is they brought all the bartenders in for a meeting. And then they took the two separate and fired them kind of in
As an example.
As an example in front of us. And we had, and this was, we got a new proprietor. This was her first day. So her first day.
Did these people cry?
Yes.
They did.
Of course they did.
Yes. I love people and crying when they feel bad.
So.
I would almost, like, stealing from the company. Okay, you're stealing from court, whatever. It's easier to excuse. But when you're stealing from hostesses and servers, you're stealing from people who have nothing. And you're stealing, like, their bread that they're going to eat that day.
It's unacceptable. But what do you got, Dennis?
This week, I mentioned I went to the dentist last week. I'm on antibiotics still and doing with that. My sleeping has been rough because for some reason I've developed acid reflux. And I don't know if that's from the antibiotics or what, but like it's annoying. So I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. And then went and set up the meeting at like 6. And then at like 9, went down and hung out with Ray and Steve and Carmelo and McNally and a newcomer. And I was hanging out with them all the way up until I walked over here and met up with you guys. So it's been a long day and I'm tired. Earlier in the week, I went out at night to a restaurant. It was our friend Jared's 30th birthday. And wow. So we went out to dinner.
30 years sober.
Whoa. Well, yeah. No, but he has the same sobriety date as us.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 years sober.
So, yeah. So that was good. It was like Tanya and Jared and Mike.
Just a little bit before us.
Yes. You're correct, James. He is a little bit before us. He's like 6 months before us.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed. Indubitably. Other than that, I discovered a new show. I've watched several Peacock shows, and I need to talk to you if you've watched it. Like, have you watched Mrs. Daisy?
No.
Oh, so good. Masterpiece of a show. Very good. And then I discovered a Hulu show called The Artful Dodger. It's a spin-off of Oliver Twist, the Charles Dickens thing, that if like the Artful Dodger or Jake Dawson like became a surgeon and moved away from his life of crime, but now Fannigan, the like head like guy, bad guy that like cultivated all the kids and stuff to be criminals, like shows back up in his life, and like it's so good. But yeah, other than that, what was your week like, Mike?
It was good. Let me see. This past week, I was thankful that I had a concert gig that I had to work that went well. And actually, I felt myself lacking sleep. I don't know what it is. I haven't been sleeping great the past while, and somebody, I don't know, actually, when I say somebody, I mean, like, there's a lot of people that are like, well, how much coffee do you drink? And I'm like, you know what? I have probably 64 ounces of coffee a day. And so that's what? Like, a normal cup of coffee, I feel like, is 12 ounces. So I have, like, 6 of those. I have, like, 6 of those a day. And when I would always be like, oh no, it has nothing to do with me sleeping. I stopped drinking coffee in the afternoon, but I'm going to give it a try. And I'll tell you, I am dog tired right now. And last night I got like 9 hours of sleep because I ended up tapering off my coffee over the weekend where I had like, you know, 30 ounces of coffee. Yesterday I might have had like 20 ounces, and today I am just dragging. And I fell asleep in my car napping for like 3 minutes before you guys came to. So I think it's going to be good. I think I'm going to start sleeping better, and it's going to be the best, you know, even if I'm sluggish and it takes a little while to kind of get in. And people are like, oh, well, you know, if you're addicted to something, sometimes you can easily replace it with something else. And I'm like, you're right. You got a pack of smokes? And no, not really. But seriously, you going, no. I think I'll end up feeling a heck of a lot better, getting longer sleep. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, the next couple weeks have some fun holiday plans. set that I can't wait for, going to St. Augustine. We rented an Airbnb for all the kids and going to do the trolley like tour that they do. If you've never been there, they got a ton of crazy awesome Christmas lights, and there's a lot of history. It's like the oldest city in America or something like that, so excited to be there. So Family Circus Christmas. Can anybody do a quick Google search so we know what year? I want to say it was 1977, but that could be incorrect.
I want to say 78.
78. It sticks in my head that this came on. The original Family Circus was a cartoon comic strip. 79. We were right close. So I know. I think the three of us used to watch it, right? James, you said you never saw it, right? Very first time.
Never seen it.
Have you ever seen the comic strip that it's based off? Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, that was in the newspaper.
It's still in the newspaper.
Are they still new? You think they can't? How?
They get new artists to come on.
New artists and new illustrators. The people that come up with the story.
Illustrators. Yeah.
But
writer illustrators.
It's pretty good. Essentially, the story of Family Circus. What is it? Three kids or four kids and two parents.
Four.
Yeah, an older boy, older girl, middle-ish boy, and then a baby. You know,
PJ.
So, if you can go through, James, anything you identified with. To tie it together, I did some notes, and I have a feeling that Dennis's and mine are going to be a lot alike.
Really?
Yeah.
I have 1 point that I.
Oh, you only did 1 point the whole thing? Oh.
Yeah.
Is it about how the cartoon looks?
No, that's all. I could do a thesis on that. And the animation.
I'm glad we don't have time for that, Dennis. We don't have time for the thesis.
So
James, can you get us started with it?
Yeah. Right away, I could identify with the kids in the first scene when they were being sneaky and they went into their mother's closet to look for presents. And thankfully, the mom had the wherewithal to wrap the presents. My parents, you know, they wrap them sometimes. But I knew I was... 'Cause there's some children who would not do that. I was not one of those children. I would go and ram. When my parents left, I would ransack everything. I would look in every nook and cranny and find those presents. And if for some reason they didn't have them in the house, before Christmas morning, I would go and unwrap the present and look and see what it was and then wrap it back up.
Nice.
Like, I think that qualifies as alcoholic behavior.
Yeah,
and
it's deviant.
It's deviant.
Jeffy!
Deviant because I knew it was wrong, but it was all about me and what I was getting. And
you're like Jeffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think about, like, if I ever lost, like, a pill or something and I really needed it, I would tear the place apart looking for it. And I needed it. And it all started with Christmas morning. you know, I really could identify with all the kids growing up with two sisters, just, you know, playing off each other and, you know, having fun and having a little sister and telling her, you know, you better watch out for Santa. He's watching you. And I loved how they made, like, the ghost Santa kind of, like, mean, like, I'm watching you. And the way it's so good. And it was like an evil little Santa. And then the kid kept seeing dead people. It was really good. And the animation was... It made me laugh a few times when they were like opening their presents. And when they were searching for the star, they were just going like... They were recycling the animation. I was like, oh, we can make a couple of memes out of these. But ultimately, it had a good message. Family came together at the end. And the ghost helped find the star, which was amazing. So one of the other takeaways was Jeffy, that was the little one that was the story was about. I think he's a mutant because he sees dead people. He can communicate with dead people. And because of that communication, he was able to locate the star. And, you know, it's quite remarkable. So I really liked it. I couldn't believe that I have gone 43 years without seeing that. And honestly, I don't know if I've seen the Garfield one. I don't remember anything about it if I have. So this was great. And I found it right on YouTube. And it was free.
Yeah.
It was great. So I don't know. What do you guys got?
All right. Thanks, James. Dennis, do you want to close it out or you want to go second here?
Whatever you want.
Okay. We'll have you close it out. It sounds like you have the biggest amount of gripes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Why start now, right? Okay. So, yeah. Like James was talking about, Jeffy not listening and peeking into the presence. I remember I was probably too old to play with action figures, but for Easter, the Easter Bunny, I was in sixth grade, they had this thing called Biker Mice from Mars.
You remember the Barnyard Commandos?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I do remember that. Okay, so, like, when you're 12, are you supposed to still be playing with action figures at the age of 12?
Yeah. I still play with action
figures. Okay. There's not
an age limit on it. I was told by my father that I was too old, but my mother's like, screw it. We're going to get a divorce anyway. So she bought me these action figures and hid them in the closet. And she walked in as I was in her closet going through the Biker Mice from Mars, being like, oh, this is great. I'm going to be able to do, this scene with this one and this. I forget their names right now, but it was essentially like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There wasn't much difference. It was just not the secret of the ooze. They just, they were from Mars and they were Biker Mice, and that's how that came up with. So, There's a part that is where you have to believe in Santa, right? You just have to believe in him. Much the same, you have to believe that the program is going to help. He believed that Santa was going to bring him, despite what the a-hole PJ, the older, or who's the older brother?
They are in the same
yeah. The older brother, I think that is how the two tie together is...
Baby.
The PJ is the baby. Yeah. So whoever the oldest child in
Lioness.
The bunch. Lioness. We'll call him Lioness. So the older brother kept being like,
Billy,
you just got to believe. You got to believe, Jeffy. And with that, I saw a lot of similarities to when I first came into the program where I just had to, blindlessly... go, you know what, if this works for these people, these strangers, and they're saying that it was this bad and it got them to a point where they actually appreciate that day, like, isn't that a great thing? There was a spot in the show where they talk about the Christmas tree having a bare spot, right? I felt like I had a bare spot. What do they always say? What does Richard always say? I had a big hole in my soul and the wind just blew right through, I feel like sometimes, even today, I don't harp on it a lot, but I feel like in my family that I'm the bare spot in it. And quite often, even though I feel like I'm working really hard, I don't think my sister, They don't really understand what I do for a living. They don't understand why I'm in Florida, why I moved down here. And there's a lot of like judgments that come. And the program has taught me that I can love that stuff. How I am today, I think every tree is supposed to have a bare spot. And I think every person is supposed to have something that makes them unique. That bare spot that I have. And I guess the last thing, how crazy great was it that he was in his dream sequence? Jeffy was bouncing around in a pink cloud. Did you notice the pink cloud? I was looking and I'm like, there's no way. It was a pink cloud that he's bouncing around and everything's great. And he's hanging out with Santa and his dead grandfather. And that he was so selfless that for Christmas, he asked Santa for a gift for his dad. You know, and that's what I always hope, you know.
He even substituted his fire truck for it.
Mm. I mean, how awesome is that? I took Olivia to see Santa Claus last week, and my ex was like, oh, did she talk about the Amazon list that she wanted and blah, blah, blah? And I said, no, as a matter of fact, Olivia did ask for a gift, but she also said that please tell the elves that because the elves come to the house and like the scout elves, they spy and make sure the kids are doing good. She said, I want Santa to know that I want you to know that my brothers are being really good and everything else. So if you heard different from the scout elves, and I'm like, that's great. That's what you want as a parent. And, you know, I would like to be less self-centered and more selfless. And that's what I got out of the Family Circus Christmas. Dennis?
Yes. So I guess Family Circus is still not... Oh, wait, no, that's something different. Never mind. That's Family Circle, the magazine that made different. Them change their name. Okay, never mind. Hi, I'm here and present.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. I too remember being a kid and sneaking in to look at the presents. And for like many years later, my parents didn't wrap our presents at all because they had four kids and like we each had a pile that we got to wake up to. But before that, I remember like finding the presents and then like becoming a surgeon to like open them. And, like, you know, remove the tape without ripping anything and then putting it back and everything. Oh, it's so devious, yeah. And
I did that for the power glove.
And I remember, like, one year, since we have always find them and stuff, they hid them, like, deep in the attic and stuff, and we found them then still. And, like, I think the one takeaway that I said was pretty much touching on what Mike was sharing about little Jeffy's faith, you know. And I think that was the big message that I got out of the whole thing, is it's like he truly believed in something, and he believed in an entity. We can call him Santa, but I believe in this storytelling as a stand-in for Santa is just a stand-in for God, right? So he believed in something all-powerful that could do anything, and so he wished selfishly for someone else, you know, like his dad, like James touched on. And the whole world was like, oh, you can't wish for impossible things, or that's impossible, or that never happened, and all of this kind of stuff. And even like the store Santa Claus that he went to and stuff, he's like, don't you think you have enough with the fire truck and everything? And like, you know, he wouldn't like say like, okay, I'll get you the gift. He didn't want to promise, because that Santa didn't even believe in the power that he's supposed to represent. And, you know, and I think that the world, you know, does that with faith in general, you know, and belief in a higher power. And little Jeffrey just kept his faith, like, throughout the whole thing. And he tried to get people to believe him, and he didn't. And then ultimately, you know, like, short story shorter, like, it came true. It all worked out. But it didn't necessarily work out the way that maybe Jeffrey thought it was, and it definitely didn't work out the way that all the other people he told about were interpreting as that Grandpa would physically come back and be there, back from the dead like a zombie or something. But in the mysterious way that higher powers often work, it did come true, and it came true through them finding the star. So Grandpa was there in spirit, and it brought the family together, and it brought a little piece of that tradition back. And it, you know, I thought it was a cute little, beautiful little short. So to me, like, the whole thing was just about faith and keeping the faith and trusting the faith and trusting in something that can do the impossible. Now, as far as the animation goes, I'll just say that it really, like, when you go back and you watch this thing, and then you watch, like, the Disney stuff that was being released at the same time in, like, 79 and stuff. And
what about the stuff in the 30s?
Well, even they were better than a lot of this was. Like, Disney's earlier stuff was. But it makes you appreciate how ahead of time Disney always was with animation and why they have the reputation that they have. Is because, like, other people that were trying to do it were not up to par or even close. Like, even Hanna-Barbera, which would arguably be, like, the second place during that time period, and like mostly through the 50s and the 60s, this didn't hold a candle to, you know, like, yeah, but other than that, the kids are cute, the comic's cute, and there's a good message in it.
Yeah. I think it's good. What makes animation? Is it the amount of slides that you actually put in to make it great? The crispness?
No, it's the animator's artwork of being able to draw all of those slides to be smooth rather than reusing animation.
Maybe they just didn't have as much money.
That has a lot to do with it, because to make it good, it does take a lot more time. You have to be more meticulous with each stroke and stuff. Yeah.
You know, maybe their boss was like, hey, well, I know you want to put this out in 1980, but we're reeling it in 79. And they're like, oh no.
But to counter that though, you look at Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera is known for making these shortcuts, right? Reusing animation, doing a lot of camera tricks that where there wasn't movement and stuff. And they did it way better than these people did it.
Wow.
Like, that's what they're known for.
That's sad.
I don't know.
What if somebody's family member is listening to this right now? Well, and was like, oh, that was the best thing that he ever did. now Dennis is just...
I'm sorry.
You're not sorry, Dennis. That's okay.
It makes you feel better. It had an impact on my life, watching it as a kid and now watching it as a 42-year-old.
Yeah.
We're talking about it.
And when was the last time you even watched it?
I was probably a preteen, if that, you know?
Yeah, it was James' entire life.
Yeah.
So what do we want to do next week? Do you want to do not animation, or do you want to knock out the animation back-to-back weeks, and then we'll do Nightmare?
Not
traditional animation, though.
We'll yeah, that's what I think. Have the
finish. Okay. So Garfield Christmas special that I believe came out in 1982 that can be seen on Peacock. We'll do that next week because we have two more weeks with Christmas, and then we usually do recovery plans for the new year leading into that. So resolutions and then we'll be sweeping this year behind us and starting to enter the fifth calendar year that we've been doing this podcast. So it's exciting stuff. Any final words, James?
Looks like I have Peacock.
Look at that. Yeah, and if you don't, sorry. Free trial. You should get a free trial, right? That way you can play along. Yeah. And if you did miss it, yes, YouTube is where you can watch the Family Circus Christmas. And you know what? It might be on there for free as well. Somebody might have...
It's free on YouTube. Yeah.
Free on YouTube. You think Garfield also, maybe?
Oh, probably.
Possibly? No.
Garfield's the IP's a lot more protected.
Okay. So we'll be back next Thursday sharing our experience, strength, and hope with you with episode 221. With an effective character, it's entirely right to have all these character defects removed. Remember, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift. That's why we call it the present.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Woohoo!